Welcome to Lisa Paulson this week on the podcast. I'm really happy to have you on here with me. I've only just recently discovered your work, Lisa, and I discovered it through, we were looking through Instagram for possible masterclass leaders for the festival. And my assistant, Leslie, she picked you up and sent me your profile. And I'm just so taken with it. So can you maybe just start off by telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Thank you so much, Margaret. I'm absolutely delighted to be invited along to chat with you today. So yeah, my name's Lisa Paulson. I'm a digital artist based up in Thurso, just outside Thurso in Caithness, looking right out to the North Sea. I create landscapes using photographs of Caithness stone found locally on beaches and harbours and pavements and ancient standing stones.
I was looking at your work. It's stunning, absolutely stunning. And it's really interesting as well. I've not seen anything quite like that before. I started trying mixtures and, you know, adding texture. But what you're doing is more authentic, I think. So are you taking two images and then putting them together in Photoshop? Is that right?
I wish I was, but yeah, but I wish it was as simple as that. I suppose if you were to simplify it, yes, that would be what I do. But usually I'll use a landscape photograph as a template to work with, or sometimes it starts with a texture of stone and I think, oh, that would make a cracking sky or a sea or what have you. So using the landscape photo as a template, I then chop out all the elements of that landscape, separate them all up, and I end up creating this multi-layered jigsaw puzzle, if you like, where the sky could be, say, a paving slab texture of stone, the sea could be the linear cut edge found in a wall or from the cliff face, and even the buildings, if there are any, and the land can then often use another texture of stone and really kind of marry the textures of stone up with whatever's in the landscape. It's usually what I do. So I can end up with anywhere from 40 to 50 layers in Photoshop.
Yeah, I did simplify that quite a lot then, didn't I? Just get two images and put them together. Not quite that simple.
But I like it.
Sounds like my idea of hell, actually, behind the computer. But the it's obviously something that you're very good at and you enjoy. So you must enjoy that, the digital side of it.
I do. I think coming into an art career from a design background has kind of helped in that sense. And I've worked in Photoshop. I was introduced to Photoshop in high school by my art teacher, and I was really captivated by it as I didn't have a very good attention span in class. And I really loved the idea of creating illustrations and scanning them up into the screen and, you know, using it to create patterns and something new digitally and then printing it back out. And yeah, it was good. So I studied a multidisciplinary design course in Edinburgh at Napier University, and that we used Photoshop almost every day there. And so Photoshop has always been a part. And even as a freelance graphic designer, after I know a lot of designers would boo using Photoshop, but it's my go-to. It's my art studio.
I think, yeah, I think you just use what the tools that you need to use and want to use. It doesn't really matter, does it? I stay away from Photoshop because it's just, yeah. But I'm completely different. I remember my first experience of computers at school. You're younger than me. But the computer, obviously very, very, very new. And I would just avoid that class. I don't know whether I actually ever took part, but I remember sitting in front of the computer just not wanting to even touch it or feeling like scared of it. So I think I used to just get out of those classes completely. Very similar today, actually, still. Just avoid it, like, but you know,
technology,
yeah, just, but you know, you learn to use the tools you need to learn. I just use them very lightly, but you're the opposite, and that's beautiful. The work that you're producing is just so delicate, and it's got such a depth to it. Yeah, that's not often something that I would say I would have that on my wall, and definitely some of your work is just really, I think there's a real kind of style that you've created, so they'll feel very in tune with each other. But I'm suspecting, correct me if I'm wrong, you've got a real thorough understanding of what's behind your work, and that's what's connecting it all.
Absolutely. To be honest, I feel that the stories behind my work are almost as important as the work itself. It's become a lot more emotive, I would say, recently. If I look back to my earlier work, when I first started, it was about 5 years ago, it was very much about place, about the location that had been captured within the artwork, and you know, where the stone textures were from, and maybe about the history of that place. Whereas over the years, I think, mostly through commission work, it's grown to become more about people and their connections with place. For example, a commission client, Alan, he doesn't mind me speaking about him, he sadly lost his wife to cancer, and he asked if I could capture a view that to him is reminiscent of his wife and within the commission. And you know, we worked together, and he was so good to work with, so open and lovely guy, and to see how much he's benefited from having that artwork in his home. And you know, it's helped him feel closer to her in a way, and that's quite powerful to me. Yeah, sorry, it makes me quite emotional just thinking about it. And it was really after working with Alan and other clients too, and seeing the benefits that can be drawn out of a piece of art. It's just, so I've really kind of dug deep into that side of it.
That's really taking it to a new level, isn't it? And I don't think there's many people that could do that, actually. I think you're very talented to be able to have that empathy and the understanding, and then the ability to translate that into an artwork. But it's what a wonderful gift. Do you get many commission pieces then?
Yes, I had quite a lot all at once, and then I actually closed my commission diary a couple of years ago. So I now have quite a lengthy waiting list. I feel like at the time I felt like I was creating pieces to thinking about the outcome and how it would be perceived by other people. And obviously with commissions, I absolutely love working on commissions because they bring you to places that you wouldn't necessarily be, and you hear these fantastic stories and connections with the landscape. But I felt like it was time to kind of slow down a bit and really dig deep into my practice, because I didn't feel like I was getting that chance to create with integrity, if you like. So yeah, I've been focusing on that over the last couple of years, and alongside my own personal development as well, I feel like my creative practice has kind of come alongside, you know, has developed alongside each other. Which is quite nice.
I've got a sense, and I don't know why I've got a sense of this, I've got a sense that you've recently found yourself and you found your place. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say so. Absolutely. I grew up here in Thurso and then couldn't wait to get away. I remember being a teenager just itching to get away from Thurso, and so went off to study in Edinburgh, and then for 4 years travelled the world with a friend for 10 months, and then came home for a couple of weeks to visit family and friends, and I just didn't want to leave, and I've been here ever since, and started a family of my own, and I was the first out of my friends to start a family, and so that felt quite lonely at times, to be honest. But the landscape became my therapy, very much so. I would often have our eldest firstborn out in the car during nap times with a bottle of milk and my camera, and just driving aimlessly along roads and taking photos and just feeling so replenished by the landscape here, and the weather systems, and yeah, just everything. But my artwork has very much become therapeutic for me, absolutely. And I feel like I've really started to understand it more and understand myself more and my artistic practice more over these last few years. I had a bit of a life coaching a couple of years ago, and that really, really helped artistically and personally, like all round. So it's been really interesting to see how come through in my artwork.
The reason I asked that was because I was talking, actually, I was recording a podcast with KJ yesterday, and we're talking about self-awareness. And I was saying, and I'm thinking that with you as well, that we can't really, well, you certainly couldn't do the kind of commissions that you were doing, you were talking about earlier. You wouldn't be able to do that unless you had found, you'd had this life experience and the come to a place of knowing yourself and understanding yourself and then understanding your artwork. I don't think that we can tackle those kind of the deep work that you were doing there in that art unless you've actually come to this, yeah, this place of self-awareness, I think. So I'm that's why I was saying I think that you have got there, haven't you, and you've been through this process. So I don't know if any of that resonates with you.
Oh, absolutely, it does. And the work that I've produced more recently has been much more about life experiences and how our natural environment can benefit our well-being and really tapping into that.
And that's one of the things as well I got from your Instagram account. It's very serene and very lovely, but that kind of nature, appreciating nature and being outdoors and well-being comes through from your the little videos that you've made. So that's wonderful to see, because I think we need to hear that message more, don't we? We don't hear that as much as we should.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a lot. I've got a very highly curated Instagram profile, where in that I don't follow a lot of accounts. You know, I only make sure and follow accounts that fill me with inspiration or you know, leave you feeling positive. I think there's a lot of negativity online more now than ever, and I think these moments, little pockets of positivity are very much needed.
Isn't it funny? Don't you think it's funny that sometimes, you know, you're in that little world, and as you say, I do the same thing. I block a lot of stuff out in the world because you don't want to let that in, do you? You just want to be surrounded by these lovely people, you know, talking about nature and outdoors and uplifting. And so it's quite shocking sometimes when the reality of life, you know, you see something and you go, well, do people actually still subscribe to that? I was in a hotel room in somewhere, I can't remember, and there was no option but the TV. So I turned the TV on and there was that Love Island thing? I've never seen you before. Oh. And I was like, it was on for like 3 minutes. I was going, is this for real? Do people actually in the world still believe in this model of, you know, this fake outward appearance? And I don't know, maybe it's deeper than that and I didn't give it a chance. I don't know why I'm talking about this. I get shocked that actually there's, you know, there are still women, girls, young girls who are still feeling the need to be like this and to look a certain way. And there's still people out there that just, you know, focus on looks and commodities and buying things. So you just see what I mean? So, but when you surround yourself with this wonderful little community, it's really nice, but there's still, you've got to remember that there's a need for you to do it. There's a need for you to put content out there to counteract all the rubbish that's in the world that's harming people.
Absolutely. That's so true. I think especially bringing up a young girl as well, who's just starting out into the whole online world, and yeah, showing her that she can block out things. And yeah, there's a lot of pressure out there. And I think in terms of Love Island and programs as such, people love people, you know, people love to watch people. There's just a instinctive attraction there, but it's watching the right people, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm maybe making a complete judgment on Love Island. Maybe there's something really deep in that video. I doubt it. But there is that thing that particularly I often try and make myself remember that young girls, that there are some young girls I know, teenage girls, that are following my account. I forget it. Young girls need to see women like stepping out into their life just as they are, without makeup on, without without the worry about, I'm not saying you don't have to wear makeup, but without the worry of what other people think of them and without the need to be perfect. And we also seeing women out in the landscape doing things and living life on their own terms, I think it's really important. And I think you show that as well in your profile, and I think that's it's just very valuable. Can I just ask you how old your children are?
So our eldest, our son is 12, and my daughter is 10.
And did you then find it, when they were little, did you find that quite, you know, you said you were out in the car with the baby, and I did the same thing when my son was born. He was little, and I used to try and take him out shooting with me. And he always ended up in a right old mess because I couldn't get out of the car. And then if he was out with me, he was toddling around and falling over. And I was like, oh, for goodness sake. It's just, I don't know, maybe my experience of children was quite, as babies, I found it quite difficult to continue to practice what I wanted to do at photography, or to have any space for myself. So that period was quite creatively devoid for me.
Yeah, I think getting out and about wasn't easy, absolutely no. And at the time I was focused more on the graphic design side of things, and I was creating wedding stationery, and I was very much a yes woman to any project, any creative project, which is great because I did in the end learn to say no but focus on the things that I enjoyed. But no, getting out and about was a challenge. So the photography side of things wasn't as frequent as I would have liked at all. But it was always worth it. It was always worth the mammoth task of getting out the door with all the bags and prams and whatever was required. It's crazy to think. I mean, back then, you know, I was full-time mum at the time as well. There was no childminder or, you know, anything. I would be often working till midnight at night, you know, when the baby slept, and I don't know how I did it, but I'm bloody glad that I did.
It's those foundations, isn't it? I started my photography business when Cameron was born, my second child, and yeah, the tiredness that was involved. But now I look back and like, oh my goodness, thank goodness I did that. It's literally saved all of our lives, you know, and not over dramatizing that, because it became the income for our family as it became the sole parent. So without that, I don't know where we would be today. So I'm forever grateful to photography in whatever form it was back then. It was very different, wedding photography. But now it's just, as the children have, I'm slightly further on, the children have left. So as you get more space, you just get space and time. It allows you to grow as well in your own creativity. So it's almost like it blossoms as terrible as they leave home, it blossoms. But that's just because you're still trying to juggle two children at home, aren't you?
Yeah, and having the time while they're at school now is just brilliant. I think that's really when things have become a lot easier, so much easier.
Yeah, you do amazingly well, and we'll be delighted to have you at the festival. Not quite sure what we're going to do with the masterclasses yet, but we'll figure something, won't we? People are very interested in it anyway, and you've got several sign-ups already, so I think your class is full already. So,
oh really? Oh, that's brilliant.
It's just so different, isn't it?
I'm so delighted that you asked. It sounds amazing, the festival. Oh, wow. I mean, really, what a treat. And I'm really excited to host a masterclass. I've been thinking about, I've got lots of ideas swirling around.
It's just a lot of it for the leaders. I think it's a really nice place. I'm a big believer in finding your tribe. I suppose that's a bit kind of naff Americanized way of putting it, but it's the work that it says it like it is. There's a lot of us out there and we're working independently, and it's really nice when you find like-minded people in the same industry or in the art, should we say, and you can support each other and you can lift each other up. So I just had a real sense about you, and you know, meeting you today, it was right. So I think what you'll do is you'll enjoy meeting all these wonderful people that are going to come together in October, and it'll probably give you back quite a lot as well. So it's can be quite lonely, can't it, when you're working by yourself up in the north of Scotland. Whereabouts do you live?
So I'm right on the coast, between Thurso and Scrabster. I'm very, very lucky. I'll never, ever take this place for granted. We moved here a couple of years ago, and it's just still pinching myself. It's, yeah, inspiration. It's hard to have to peel myself away from the window daily. So,
when you're creating your work, do your inspirations, do they come from your, if you're not doing a commission, say, are they coming from your life experiences, or are they coming more from nature and like connections with the land?
So a bit of both, the connections with the land and my own life experiences. My last release was called Bishop's Palace, and it was of the, I was trying to pull away from thinking about, like I was talking about earlier, creating work that I think will appeal to other people, you know, popular locations and what have you. So Bishop's Palace is the view from where I live, and it was very personal piece. It was based around a miscarriage and baby loss, and I used the artwork to create awareness really, and conversations, and also raise money for Tommy's charity as well at the same time, by donating a percentage of sales from it, from the limited editions that were sold. And the piece itself was created using a texture, with a few textures of stone captured from our little beach. But I call it our, it's not our beach, but you know, the beach that I visit daily, and that fills me with inspiration every morning. And for the first time, I had three little grotty bucky shells in the sky as well, to encourage viewers to pause and have a little mindful moment to themselves and look for them. And yeah, raised over £700 for charity as well. Just delighted in it, and it sparked so many conversations and people sharing stories, and I think helped people feel less alone, and that in itself was really quite special.
Yeah, it's a very special thing that you're doing there. Absolutely. Do you have, so just to find out what you're doing with your work, so are you exhibiting, are you selling, or is it just all commissioned?
The commission diary still remains closed. That's been a couple of years now. I'm still not sure if or when I'll be starting commissions again. I'm just going to carry on focusing on that development side. I'm really quite enjoying it just now. I feel like I'm just getting into it. So I've never exhibited before. Like, I've never had a solo exhibition before. I've had pieces exhibited, and there's an annual exhibition at Rock Rose Distillery. I just, at the end of last year, was pre-selected for the Society of Scottish Artists annual exhibition down in Edinburgh. So that was really, I was delighted, like really delighted with that. I've just received the piece home again, actually. It's Done It Head 2, it's called. And so this year, yeah, I'm not really sure. I wing it. I very much wing it. I don't plan too far ahead. I just, you know, the other day, last week, I saw just beautiful sky. It was really, when we had those wintry skies and there was hailstones just falling from the clouds in the distance, and I captured it and came in. I just had to create something with it, so that was that. And so I'm planning to release that sometime soon. I sell the majority of my work online. I do have Coos Tail Gallery in town are my main stockists. They take in the full range of limited editions and things, which is brilliant. And Sheila Fleet over in Orkney too, she takes in a lot. But directly, I sell mostly online and to all over. You know, there's a lot of international shipping as well, which is great. But I found recently a model that's working well for me. I used to have the online shop open all the time, but I found that a lot of my time was then being used up fulfilling orders. and not actually creating. So I keep the shop shut now all the time and only open it over 48 hours over weekends when I release new work, and then close it again. And then the number of orders received for a new release of a new artwork release is then dictates the number of limited editions that are produced for that release, and then it's never produced again. So that's been working quite well. It's freed me up a lot.
That's a great idea, actually. I've just shut my shop as well, because it was the same. Well, I'm just in the middle of moving, so it wasn't practical. So, but I was sort of thinking, actually, yeah, you've got to control it, don't you, a little bit, because otherwise you do end up just packaging things up and going to the post office all the time.
Yeah, which is nice. You know, it's really it is good, and I quite like sometimes having the mundane tasks to work on and listen to, you know, podcasts like yours, and, you know, while I'm doing it, I do love that side of it. But no, it became, yeah, something had to give, so it's working quite well.
That's great, brilliant. It's just so interesting, and I think it's just so different. I think you've done so well. It's really nice to see somebody, you know, being successful in this very small, unique way, I suppose, and just completely different to a lot of things that everyone else is doing. So you've obviously gone your own way completely, haven't you? I can't really recall anybody else that's doing something similar. Maybe I'm just not looking. Do you feel that? Do you feel like it's your own thing completely?
I do feel, yeah. I think, I don't know. I don't really think about it. I quite like a challenge, and I quite like doing things differently, turning away from what might be the norm. I think the idea of having a successful business for me has never been about, in the past I've thought about employing staff or, you know, taking a lot, some of the, you know, the printing work and things closer to, you know, doing that from home rather than outsourcing. But actually, I quite like just being me and just doing my little, I don't know, doing what I do. And I think the success for me is having that flexibility and less responsibilities.
Yeah, and I think that's, you summed it up there, actually. You said not thinking, and that's probably why you're doing your own thing, because you're not thinking about what everyone else is doing, and you're just kind of like, you're very similar to what I do, actually. Just head down, follow your own instinct, following your own path. Not thinking about everyone else is doing means that you'll do what pleases you, and then what pleases you is often, it becomes the most powerful work, doesn't it? Because you're letting yourself into that artwork and not thinking, well, that's going to sell, so I'll do that. But what I found interesting there as well is the idea of what success is. I think I'm successful. And that's not because my bank balance is very big and I've got fancy cars. I'm successful because I'm living this life, and I feel the life is in line with my values and what I love in life. And I'm getting distracted because my dog is messing about behind me. Yeah. Oh, she's just going back to sleep. It's all right. I lost the plot there. Yeah. So success for us is different than having a massive business, employing lots of people, like earning lots of money, living in a fancy place. So I'm in agreement with you on that one.
It's so true. And it's funny, recently I've had a few conversations about retirement and, you know, when do you plan to retire? What do you plan? And I don't plan to ever retire. I will never retire.
She's squeaking a ball, isn't she now? It's okay. We'll go with the squeaks in the background. Yeah. I'm the same. I don't want to retire, as long as I'm doing what I love doing now in life. And I do. I'll probably drop some of the things. You know, there's some things that you go, well, you know what, if I don't need to earn, then I'm not going to do certain things. But I'm going to keep creating art forever, because why would you stop? Oh, well, it was lovely to chat with you. Just before we stop, can you just let everybody know where they can find you online?
Sure. So my website is inspiredbycaithness.com, and the same on social media. So if you look up at Inspired by Caithness on Instagram or Facebook are my go-tos.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Margaret. Thank you so much.